Today we continue in the fourth reading of Parshas Kisisa, where Moshe Rabbeinu continues to make these extraordinary requests of God. And for the most part, he's getting his way. But not entirely. So in verse 17 of chapter 33, the creator of heaven and earth agrees to Moshe's request. He says, okay, I'm going to give you what you wanted. You'll be known by name. And then Moshe, seeing that he's been so successful in his requests, he goes for the gold. Verse 18, Pasuk Chai, Vayomer, and Moshe says, Hareini no es kvedecha. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Rashi says, this is a new request, not the same thing Moshe Rabbeinu asked for earlier. Ra'a Moshe shahaya es ratzen. Moshe saw this was a time of divine grace. Remember, Moshe, this is not his first conversation with God. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain. Not once, but twice. So, Moshe knows, like, he's been in touch with God. He's God's personal student and pupil. He sees this is a special time. He sees Dvarav Mikubalim. His words are being accepted. So far, everything he's asked for, everything was positively responded to. This is impressive. So Moshe says, because it's such a special time and my words are being responded to affirmatively, v'haysef lishel, so Moshe Rabbeinu then asks something else. He says, l'haraisai maris kvede. He wanted to see a vision of God's glory. And here, it doesn't work. His luck runs out. V'yomer ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. God says, I will pass all my goodness before your face, or before my face. V'karasi b'shem Hashem lofanecha, I will call out the name of God before you. V'chanoisi es asher achein, I will be gracious to the ones I will be gracious. V'richamti es asher arachem, I will be merciful to those whom I am merciful to. What in heaven does that mean? Okay, so let's take a look in Rashi first. And then we'll see if we can try to decipher this and figure it out. So Rashi says, "Vayomer ani avir." I'm going to pass by. What is tuvi? What is this goodness in front of God's face? So Rashi explains to us, Moshe Rabbeinu essentially asked to see a vision of God's glory. That's what he asked for. And God says to Moshe, "I am going to fulfill your request. I'm going to." Higia hasha shetire kvedi. The time has come. They should see my glory. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu saw and learned and experienced until now, that's not God's glory. Moshe Rabbeinu says, now God says it's time. You're going to see my glory. At that, we've arrived. However, that means ma sha'ar sha'ischa liris, what I will allow you to see. Lafi, because shani reitze, v'tzarech l'lamedcha seder tefila. I have to teach you how to daven. God says, in other words, I have to teach you how to get through to me. Here's how you can, quote, manipulate me. Here's how you can get your way. Here's my weak point, if you will. Of course, none of that really exists, and this is all a euphemism and parable that Hashem using human construct. But nonetheless, this is how Rashi explains it. I need to teach you how to daven. Shekishenitzrachta levakesh rachamim al Yisrael. When you needed to beg for mercy on behalf of the Jewish people, Hiskartali, you mentioned for me, Zuchus Aves, the merits of the patriarchs. Kisavurata, you might think, She'im Tama, that if those merits have expired, once you used up those mileage, that's it. Tambus Chus Aves, Ein Oid Tikva. No more merits accrued, no more merits to be spent. That's it. You're out of luck. But God says, no, it's actually not so. It's actually not so. There still is hope. Because even if the schus avis has been spent, I will teach you how to appeal for my mercy. Ani avir kol midas tuvi lefanecha. I'm going to pass before you all of the measures of my goodness. Al hatsur. This will happen on the rock, meaning really at the mountain summit. Va'ata tsofim b'mari. You're going to be kind of hidden away in this cave. V'karasi b'shem Hashem l'fanecha, Rashi says, l'lamedcha seders b'kashas rachamim. I'm going to teach you the order, the syntax, the frame in which you should elicit my mercy. Afim tichlis chusavis, even if the merit of the patriarchs will be spent. Ukasei dezesh atarayasi, you're going to see me now. Again, metaphor, anthropomorphism, not to be taken literally. But you'll see me mu'utav, like wrapped in a talus. V'kaydi yud gimel midis, you'll see me calling out the 13 attributes of mercy. Havim alamed es yisor la'asis kein. You in turn must teach Israel, the nation, to do so. V'al'yidei askiru l'fanai. And when they will mention before me, rachom, v'chanon, when they'll speak of my attributes of mercy and grace, so yiyunen, and they'll always be responded to. Why? Ki rachamai loikolim. It's possible to spend the accrued merits of the patriarchs, but it is never possible to expend my mercy. Because God's mercy is endless, boundless, limitless. So you'll never ever break that ceiling. And therefore, that's the way to daven. You thought the way to daven is to mention accrued merits. I'm telling you, the way to daven is to appeal to and awaken and invoke God's mercy. And having said this, v'chanoisi es asher ochen, the times that I want to be gracious, I'll be gracious. Oisen pavim she'aretz alochen. It doesn't mean there's a guarantee. It doesn't mean you're always going to get what you're looking for. And there's going to be times, v'richamti, I'm going to be merciful, be'eis she'ech beitz l'achem, at a time when I'm going to want to be merciful. Ad kan lehivticha ele'itim ne'anim, here, up until this point, God said to Moshe, here's what you'll do. Sometimes it'll work, and sometimes it won't. But here's what you'll do. Aval b'shas Maisa, but when Hashem actually taught Moshe to give me this, Amar lo, he said to him, Hini anechi keres bris, behold, I establish a covenant with you. V'hivtichai, and he guaranteed him, she'enon chayzeh seikam, that they will never come home empty. Which doesn't mean, incidentally, we always get our way. It just means that there's nothing like a wasted prayer. Even if it didn't bring about the results you were looking for, it may bring about results in the future. It's never wasted. So you could have thought initially, well, you know, you do a prayer. It might work, it might not work. It's a good chance. Take your chances and this could work. Hashem says, no, it'll always work. It can't not work. It may not work as you want it to work, but it'll always work. So now we understand how Rashi explains this. Rashi says this whole business of Moshe wanting to know God's glory is Moshe wanting to say, okay, so I need to figure you out, God. Once I figure you out, I'll know how to be able to appeal to you, how to elicit a response from you. That's what this is about. In other words, really, it's not for himself. This is on behalf of the Jewish people. How is it possible for us, the Jewish people, to always have this special relationship with you, even if we don't exactly, you know, kind of own up to our responsibilities. Even if we aren't measuring up to your expectations, how could I still nonetheless be able to awaken your mercy? And that's what Hashem actually teaches Moshe. That's the glory that he asked for. He said, tell me your secret. What's the secret of getting through to you? God's not going to tell it to you. Now, Moshe hearing this, he wants to see, if you will, God's face, which is obviously, once again, metaphor. But God says, "Vayemer lesucha lidus hispani." You can't see my face. Layirani adam v'chayi. Nobody sees me and lives. That's a contradiction to life itself. Now, this is a further response to the question: show me your glory. Show me your glory, Moshe. I want to see. I want to see everything. So, as Rashi had explained, God says to Moshe, "I'm going to teach you how to get through to me. I'll teach you how to elicit response, which is the notion of the prayers that you'll offer." But even when all my goodness will pass before your face, and I cannot give you permission then to see my quote-unquote face. So Ramban says that before a person were to see it, body and soul will separate. Body and soul cannot remain together after such an experience. Whereas Er Chaim says, Moshe, God said, I'm afraid for your life. This is now playing with your life. We can't do this. But Vayemer Hashem, Hinei Mokem Iti, this place with me. V'nitzavta al atzor, you'll wait for me on the rock or on the mountain. Rashi says, V'nitzavta al atzor. He didn't say wait on the rock, he said Iti. So this is Bahor Asher Ani Adaber Imcha Tamid. This is the mountain that I'm speaking to you upon continuously. And that was, of course, Mount Sinai. Yesh makim muchan li l'tzarkecha. I have a little cleft in the rock that's been prepared all along. Of course, God knows Moshe was going to make this request at some point. At mincha sham shalai sizek. I'm going to kind of squirrel you away. I'm going to hide you away so that you shouldn't be harmed. Umisham tire masha tire. It's from there you'll see whatever you'll see. Zehu pshute. This is the straightforward, what you would call the literal meaning of the verse. Umedrashai, because the literal meaning is a little funny. Little meaning doesn't kind of add up. So therefore, Rashi also feels compelled to share with you a midrashic interpretation. Where is this rock? Where is this cleft? Amakim shahashchina sham medaber, the place of the Shechina itself. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, there is a place, the place where I am. I can't tell you where that is, but it's a place where I am. And when you'll be on the rock, I will be there. I will come. Va'oimer hamakim iti. God says the place is with me. Ve'ini oimer ani b'makim. God is not in a place. Place is with God. Sha'akadosh baruch hu mekayim shel olam. God is the place of the universe. Ve'in ha'olam mekayim. God is not in the universe. The universe is in God, as it says in the Book of Kings, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shlomo that the idea of makim iti, meaning God is not in a place, but there is a place that's with God. It's a very subtle difference, but a world of difference. V'hoya ba'avar kvaydi. And so when my glory will pass forth, v'samticha b'nikros hatzur, that's when I place you into that cleft. V'sakoisi chapa, I proverbially place my hand, alecha, over you, ad avri, till I pass. So I'm going to block your vision. You're not going to see everything. Rashi says, v'hoya ba'avar kvaydi, kisha ever lefanecha, when I quote-unquote pass before you. Benikras Satsur, Rashi says, it means like a hole, a cleft. And how do we know that? A cavity. These are the words of Dasan Aviram at the time of the dispute of Korach. He says, will you gouge their eyes out? Of course, there's an eye socket. There's a space that the eye occupies. So there's this empty space. There's this socket, if you will. This cavity that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be tucked away into. And Yikrohua Oivrei Nachal. Another example of this is where we find the idea of a dugout, like, you know, people who go through the gorge, dig out a space. Or ani karti v'shesisi mayim, I dug out a space and I was able to drink water, like created a trough. Achas lohem nikra hatzur. This is all the same verbiage. It means, the point is, making a cleft, a hole, a cavity, a space in the rock. Kriya satsur, as if there's something carved out into the rock. And that little space, that was Moshe's private little space that he occupied at this time of extraordinary glory and extraordinary revelation. Vesakoyse kapa, God shall cover you with my hand. Again, euphemism. Mikan shenitne reshus l'mechablum l'chabel. This is indicative of the notion that sometimes when all bets are off the table, then even extraneous or negative forces have the power to be able to inflict damage. So it's a dangerous time. And because there's danger, that's why God has to shield Moshe, so to speak. And that's really the concern here. Oh, the Targum renders it, v'ogin b'memrei, I will shield you with my words. Kinui, this is a euphemism. L'shein, this is a respectful way to speak about God, for whom all of these terminologies are moot. God, of course, does not have to shield or cover Moshe with his hand. He doesn't have a hand. That makes no sense. It's not a literal thing. But it's a metaphor. It's parabolically speaking, God is shielding Moshe at this extraordinary moment of revelation. And then what will happen? And here we come to the climax. V'hasi roisi es kapi. Then I will remove my hand. V'ro'isa es achari. Finally, this is all about seeing. And also, Moshe is going to be here by covering. He's all about not seeing. He says, I want to see. God says, you can't see. I have to hide you away. I have to put you in this spot. I have to cover you. Okay, and? And then I will remove, proverbially, my hand. V'ro'isa es achari. You'll see my back. Panai lo yiro. But you cannot see my face. Can't see my face. So Rashi says, "V'hasiroisi es kapay, v'adi yos dvoras yikaru." I will remove or strip away this glory of mine, Kisha asalek hanhaga, when I pass by, kvoidi mekeneged panecha, my glory passes before your face, lelechas misham lalon, on the way out. So God says, when my shechina is on the way out, at that time, v'reisa sachayri, I'm be passing by. I will have, so to speak, passed by already. So what will you see after I pass by? You'll see the back. Hello, kesha shel tefillin, Rashi says. He showed him the knot of tefillin. Now, as I said yesterday, these verses are extraordinarily difficult to be able to understand and decipher. The Mefarshim differ significantly in their interpretations of this. Rashi chooses to understand and explain these verses within the frame of prayer. That's how he chooses to explain it. Not all the Mefarshim follow this. There's a Rabbeinu Bachai that has a very different approach to elucidating and explaining the request and the response. But Rashi says in Pshut Lashon Mikra, this is about God telling Moshe Rabbeinu how to connect. Prayer means actually connection. The word tefillah comes from the word hatofel, which means to sew together or to attach. So prayer is about communion, it's about attachment, it's about connecting to God. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know, how do you achieve the deepest oneness, the deepest communion? How do you connect? And of course, how do you become then a vehicle, a conduit for God's blessings here in this world? Which is what prayer is about. So Moshe Rabbeinu is told about prayer. And he's told about the Jewish people emulating that prayer. And we have like imagery that's evoked here. Imagery of a prayer shawl, of a talis. Imagery of tefillin. That's the imagery, all metaphoric, which we are supposed to kind of replicate in our prayers, especially for a chazan or one who leads a service in trying to petition heaven. And you get to see the knot of tefillin. Now, I mean, Rashbam says, I don't know, this just means you get to see less. See the back, not the face. Why did Rashi get stuck in this knot of tefillin? The Chizkuni says you see the effulgence, you see the rays, you see the radiance, you won't see the light itself. These are all ideas and expressions of the human condition which are really beneath God. This whole thing is like an infradig for God, like God has a face, a back, he's passing, he's covering. The whole thing doesn't even add up. But it's all like different, using euphemism to convey some kind of deeper message here. And Rashi chooses to couch this entire conversation and the deeper message and the imagery and the revelation all in the terms of prayer, of prayer shawls and of tefillin and of the effects of prayer. So what does this mean then? What does it mean he saw the knot of tefillin? In other words, it fits into the syntax, general syntax of Rashi, but what does the knot specifically mean? What does it mean he showed him the knot? I know what it means literally. What's the metaphor? So the Rebbe is a marvelous way of just like giving an overview and explaining this whole business of how Rashi sees what exactly Moshe was shown and the kind of euphemism that God employs during this conversation. Let's take a look on page Shin Chavav, where Rebbe sets out to explain the spiritual meaning. What is the content of a knot of tefillin? So the Rebbe says like this: B'tchilas ha'inyan, in the beginning of this pasuk, when it says Ani aver kol tuvi al panecha, I'm going to pass all my goodness before your face. V'kadosi b'shem Hashem, I call the name of God l'fanecha before you. Rashi explained, and this is a quote. You'll remember it. We just did this. Higia shah shatire b'chvedi. The time has come for you to see my glory. Why? L'fi shani reitze v'tzarech l'lamedcha seder tefila. I want and need to teach you the way you get through to me. Here's how you get what you want. That's tefillah. You call Grasi B'Shem Mishal Vanecha. He said, I want to teach you the Bakashas Rachamim. Here's how you should evoke mercy. And Ukaseidir Hazeh, Sha'at Araya Oisi, that you see me Mo'utaf, wrapped, which is a euphemism. And what's the metaphor? What's wrapped? The talus. Wrapped in a talus. V'koyri yud gimu midas. Wrapped in a talus, calling out the 13 attributes. Havei melamed es yisor lasas kein. Teach Israel to do same. V'ayideshi askiru lefonai rachon v'chanon. When they'll say the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachon v'chanon. Right? Like we sing in Shul together. Think about it on the high point of Yom Kippur, right? In the Ilah of Yom Kippur. When we sing again and again, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachon v'chanon. That's what we're talking about. That's we're reaching out to God. We're trying to connect and talk to our Creator and evoke His mercies upon us. And Rashi says, you'll always be answered. None of those prayers will go by the wayside. Will never be a waste. Even though God says here, I'll respond. I'll be gracious when I want to be gracious. I'll be merciful to whom and when I want to be merciful. But later when God actually teaches Moshe, he says, it's always. Those prayers don't come home empty-handed. They always have some impact somewhere, somehow. Ultimately in the real world, it's just maybe delayed reaction. But it always makes a difference. It cannot not work. Because my mercies are boundless. In other words, Kaloimar, Kolo Inyan Hametur, Beksuvim Elo, according to Rashi, everything we talked about here, Kriyasid Gimel Midei Sarachamim, the calling out of the 13 attributes of mercy, Re'iyas Kvaida Shechina Yedei Moshe, the seeing of the divine presence through Moshe, whatever that means, I don't know what it means, but Moshe knew what it meant and he saw something. Mahava Chelek Milimud Seyde Barkosha Sarachamim, it's all part of, here's how you get through to me. It's all part of that. So I want to get to know you. I want to have the most intimate relationship. I want to know exactly what works and exactly how you tick. That's what this is about. The prayer, the connection, the relationship. Prayer represents that emotional, profound communion, that deep relationship. So Shabbai Limid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, God teaches Moshe, as it were, Ketzad Levakesh Rachmim. Here's how you should get me to do what you want to do. God's making himself very vulnerable, if you will. Right? He says, here's how to get through to me. Here's how to catch my attention. If you do this, I will respond. Trust me. Like, you know, I'm telling you. I'm letting you run into the secrets. That's what you asked for. Here's how you can obtain Hashem's pardon when the Jewish people color outside the lines and they violate Hashem's will. And the Rebbe says, only when you put this in a frame, because for Rashi, verses are not interpreted individually. So there's a cadence of meaning. Everything contributes towards the bigger picture here. Rashi's creating a narrative here. He's painting us a panorama of a conversation, of a give and take between God and Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all about prayer. It's all about 13 attributes of mercy. It's all about talus. So, b'mizgeret hazu, it's in this frame that God shows Moshe the knot of tefillin. But what then is the deeper message? Listen to what the Rebbe tells. This is absolutely amazing. This is like unbelievable. Hasiba lekach she'adam chayta. Why do people sin? Simple question. Why do people sin? What is the greatest cause of sin? It's not what you think.
Not remembering.
Exactly. Very good. It's not lust. It's not desire. It's not cravings. No. The greatest cause of sin is forgetfulness. Shikha. Now you'll say, well, that's not the greatest cause of sin. It's not because of forgetfulness, it's because of selfishness, and it's because of desire to do all. No, the Rebbe says. And I'll prove it to you. If a person would remember, he would direct his attention towards this notion. We believe that God recreates the world each and every single moment, sustaining utterances of Hashem, enabled the whole world to exist. If you were mindful, mindfulness, that's what this is about. If you were mindful of the fact that God is creating you at this moment, you couldn't violate the will of God when God is actually now creating you, right now. And you're mindful of that. Who would violate the will of Hashem? God is now giving you life. You throw it back. Nobody would do that. So why do we sin? Hasiba hayechide, for then the singular reason for sin is she'adam esugal lachtoi, that a person is unfortunately prepared to sin, or capable of sinning, is mishum shu sheicheach, because he has mindlessness. He forgot. He forgot that the emes elikis, the godly truth. And even worse, he didn't just forgetful by accident, but he drove it out of his mind. He purposely distracted himself. He's masiach da'atoy mimeno. He turns away from that. Let's not think about that. Don't confuse me with the facts. Let's not think about the truth right now. Let's think about something else. In other words, a shikha haminutzeles al yedei hayetzer kedei lachti. This is a functional forgetfulness. And the function of the yetzer hara of the evil inclination is to get you to forget, so that he can get you to sin. How do you fight that though? How do you combat that? This is very difficult. We all seem to fail continuously. What do we have to keep doing? Keep strengthening memory. Keep strengthening mindfulness. Stop, think, remember all the time. A person has to constantly remind himself of the godly truth. And when he constantly reminds himself of the godly truth, in this way you fix yesterday's sins and you guarantee you won't sin tomorrow or today. And this is the reason that Bakashas Rachamim Va'Mechila Nasas B'Techis Atfus B'Talus V'His Atrus B'Tfilm. That's why when it comes to this business of the different attributes of God's mercy and obtaining God's pardon, what are we talking about here? We're talking about wrapped in a talus and adorned in tefillin. Because these two mitzvahs elu, the tzitzis and the tefillin, mashpias al hazikaron, have a direct influence on the memory. Like it says, Uri'isa Ma'isa, you see them? Uzachartem, you remember. That's the words of the Torah. The latfilin, what does it say about the tefillin? Ulizikaroin, as a memory, beninecha, right between your eyes. Zeu eifei, this is the meaning then of mashmois, of divrei Rashi, the meaning of Rashi's words. Herohu kesher shel tefillin. He showed him the knot of the tefillin. This is the real forget me not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hera l'meisha es haderech l'tikun achet. God said, you want the secret? You want the secret of how to get through to me? Let me give you the secret of how to get through to yourself. Get through to yourself. Like when Rabbi Lau was here, he told me, people ask me, where was God? He says, I asked them, where was people? Where was humanity? Why are you worried where God is? Why aren't you worried where people were? People allowed it to happen. So God says, you want to know my secrets? You want to get through to me? Let me tell you how to get through to you. Let me tell you how to become all you could be. And that's al yaday tosefes chizuk, kesher, knotting, tying, strengthening the bond, strengthening the knot. Binyan azikaron, in the area of mindfulness. If you have mindfulness, everything else will fall into place.
Easy stuff.
Easy stuff.